and W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. An investigation is underway into a deadly crash between two Army Black Hawk helicopters on a training mission in southwestern Kentucky last night. WTVF reporter Amelia Young is near the crash site.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear tweeted out a statement this morning saying, quote, "We've got some tough news out of Fort Campbell with early reports of a helicopter crash and fatalities are expected. Kentucky State Police, emergency management, and local officials are responding. Please pray for all of those affected."
Nashville remembered the victims of Monday's school shooting.
We carried you.
Country Music's Margo Price sang. First Lady Jill Biden attended a community vigil for the three students and three staffers who died. The head of the Covenant School was among them. City Councilman Russ Pulley says she may have confronted the shooter.
The witness told me that Catherine Kuntz heard the shots, ended the Zoom call immediately, and abruptly left that meeting and left her office.
An American News correspondent has been detained in Russia. CBS's Stephen Portnoy has the details.
Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich is accused of acting on instructions of the U.S. government to spy on Russia's military-industrial complex and trying to obtain secret information. Held on an espionage charge, the reporter faces up to 20 years in a Russian prison. In a brief statement, his employers at the Wall Street Journal say they are deeply concerned for his safety. Gerskovich's most recent byline in the paper this week ran under the headline, "Russia's economy is starting to come undone."
The Vatican says Pope Francis spent a good first night in the hospital after he was admitted for difficulty breathing. Correspondent Seth Doan is in Rome.
Pope Francis was kissing babies, welcoming children, and addressing crowds at his weekly audience. But the pontiff appeared pained as he was helped into his Pope Mobile, and soon after he was brought to nearby Gemelli Hospital for what a Vatican spokesman called, quote, "previously scheduled checks." However, the Vatican revealed Pope Francis had complained of breathing difficulties in recent days.
New numbers from the Census Bureau show big cities aren't as empty as they were during and after the pandemic because immigrants are picking up some of the slack. Population losses in L.A., Chicago, and New York City are being offset by liberal immigrant laws. It's opening day at the ballpark, and fans may notice things are speeding up. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred.
We think the changes work together in order to promote getting the ball in play, giving fans more action, less downtime in the game.
Among the new rules, speeding up the pitch clock. There will be no moving infielders to the outfield, and bases are now 3 inches bigger. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Greg Bach is here because it is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday. Greg Bach, what is this hour called?
The No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry.
It's right for today.
It's right for today.
Oh,
it's
you know right. What, Jane? Can you ever be on my side? Ever?
Weekdays 11 to 2.
What do you think got me this job, Greg Bach?
Oh, darn it. Shoot. I'm in.
On Civic Media.
Happy Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
And the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin. you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Mom was always very organized.
But my sister and I noticed she started to forget things.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
My sister and I were there for Mom and each other.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Thursday, March 30th. It's a beautiful day on Lake Wissota. It's a beautiful day all over Wisconsin because it's opening day. It's opening day of baseball season. Brewers begin the season this afternoon, an early afternoon game against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. The home opener will be next Monday, but it's here. We're excited with the way we get the Brewers hoodie on, the Brewers Hawaiian shirt is on. I'd wear the baseball cap, but I got, you know, headphones. Aaron looks resplendent in his complete and utter lack of any Brewer gear. I guess you didn't get the memo.
Well, if I crouch down a little bit, you can pretend my shirt's a Brewer shirt. It's the right color.
There we go. It is the right color, blue. I'll give you that much. So some of us are extremely happy. My Facebook profile, I change the picture every year on opening day. It's a little cartoon of Charlie Brown waking up and the sun rising through his window, but it's not a sun. It's actually a baseball because, you know, some of us just love the game that way.
That's pretty good.
I like that. And then the cover photo, of course, is beautiful Miller American Family Field, which I'll eventually get used to saying. Let's see what's coming up this morning. Oh, Russian Ron is at it again. The senator resumes his role as a conduit for Russian influence as he calls for, quote, negotiations over Ukraine. We will talk at 6:15 to Joe Zepecki about Johnson's latest unhelpful comments, and we'll update the status of the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, which is now only 5 days away. 5 days to go until that election next Tuesday. We'll talk to Joe about that. Normally, we talk to him at 6:30 on Thursdays, but I wanted to get a little head start on some of the topics. So we'll talk at 6:15, and then I'll follow up at 6:30 with anything that we didn't cover in our conversation. Then Kristen Lyerly will join us at 6:50 for our history lesson and some music notes. And then she'll stick around for the 7 o'clock hour for a couple of different guests. We will meet Renee Papelham of Kewaunee, a special needs teacher who's really moved the needle on civic engagement as she works to motivate people to vote next week. And then at 7:30, in her usual weekly hometown health segment, Dr. Lyerly will introduce us to Dr. Christopher Ford. Dr. Ford is an emergency medicine doc who is part of the lawsuit challenging the state's criminal 1849 abortion ban. Dr. Ford also chaired the People's Maps Commission that seeks to end gerrymandering in our state. And he is among the more than 300 physicians who are publicly endorsing Judge Janet Protasiewicz in next week's Supreme Court election. So, again, here's a guy who's busy enough as an ER doc, who's also taking the time to get involved. And this show is all about civic engagement and getting people motivated to do a little bit more and to do a little bit more when it comes to voting or encouraging people to vote or acting on behalf of a candidate or a cause or what have you. And so hopefully the stories that you're going to hear throughout the course of the morning here might motivate you to do more of the same. By the way, tomorrow we will talk to State Senator Kelda Royce on a Democratic bill that would restore women's health care rights. Now, obviously, that's something that this Republican legislature is not going to pass, but it's important that Democrats put out there what their values are, what they would do if they were in charge. And in this case, it would be to give women back the rights that were taken away from them in the Dobbs decision that repealed Roe v. Wade. So we will talk to Senator Royce tomorrow morning about that. All of this meant to make sure that you vote next Tuesday. And it leads us to our call of the day, which is, what's the number one reason you would tell people not to skip out on next week's election? Because it's not just a state Supreme Court race, and it's not just a state Supreme Court race that you would vote in because of either abortion rights or gerrymandering or whatever the case may be. But there are school board elections. There's school referenda. There are local elections. Maybe there's one that is particularly noteworthy to you that you'd like to tell us about. So what is it that you would tell somebody, a reason why they shouldn't skip out of the election next week? You can call our studio at either line 844-967-2789 or 715-388 7155. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And as always, look for Up North News WI on social media. If you are listening on the radio across the Civic Media Radio Network, thank you. If not, you're probably watching us on Facebook. Our live feed can be found on three different pages: the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, and the one for Bull Falls Radio. Mr. Zommers, I've pretty much worn out everything that I've got to do to tell everybody. You can call in. You can write in. We want to hear from you. Your phone is right there. You're ready to answer it.
Yeah, definitely. My only request is that if you are commenting on Facebook, please don't do it in Russian.
But thankfully you translated some of those comments yesterday because we just want to make sure we weren't missing anything, but they didn't really make much sense.
Yeah, so one of them said something along the lines of, when Russian music releases, we enjoy it right away.
Now you just said it out loud. And so if that was like some kind of a key phrase the Russians were trying to get, now somebody's maybe triggered and now some bad things might happen. So thanks for doing that. Way to read the Russian there, Aaron. The Bucks beat the Indiana Pacers last night, 149-136. Very high scoring game. Drew Holiday scored a career high 51 points. Giannis had a triple double with 38 points. And he had that triple-double by like midway through the third quarter after sitting out Monday night with a sore knee. So the Bucks beat the Pacers, and now they will be back in Milwaukee to host Boston on Thursday night. And, of course, did I mention in sports? It's opening day. Brewers against the Cubs later this afternoon. Let's get this season going right after it snows a lot tomorrow night in some parts of Wisconsin. But then spring is here. For real, we promise. Back with more after this. You're up north.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
We've mentioned, inflation is going to be an issue. Let me ask you this. What would you like to see Donald Trump do if you were here? What did you suggest Biden do to address the inflationary pressures we're facing right now?
Well, I can't tell you that because that would be something you could counter and defeat Trump with, or the Republican Party. So tell you.
You think Trump's taking strategy from you on talk radio, Lou?
I mean, you're no Kid Rock, Lou.
Follow the devil's advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies today with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. Highs around 43, southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 38. Overcast. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. 62. About an inch of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right, it's time to visit with Joe Zepecki. And I know what you're saying. Wait. We normally do this at 6:30. What are we doing it this time around? Because I can't wait, because I've been on vacation. There's
a lot. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Don't you dare use the Nixon phrase, tan, rested, and ready. We already used that yesterday. I can't keep those comparisons up. But it's nice to recharge the batteries. It's nice to be back here. It's nice to get right into it, because I thought we'd say, oh, you know, what's new at the Supreme Court race? We're wrapping it up, home stretch, closing messages. And I like the way that you set up. Our first topic is not going to be about the Supreme Court race here in Wisconsin. It's going to be about something that broke, you know, on Wednesday when you opened up your newspaper, real or virtual. And there's our senator again.
Yeah. Just the other day, I was talking to a reporter who covers politics, who shall remain nameless. And I sort of made the joke, boy, you know who we haven't heard from in a while? U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Every week, it seems, he's like good for sticking his foot in his mouth. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't kind of done that in a little bit.
And now,
you know, the headline is Ron Johnson casts doubt on continued U.S. aid helping Ukraine in its fight against Russia.
For those folks who are not familiar, and as we learned on Election Day, a lot of folks clearly still aren't familiar with Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson has been a regular conduit of disinformation from Russia. He's nicknamed Russian Ron by some for good reason. And so it is inevitable that we were going to hear him take Putin's side and call for quote-unquote negotiation over Ukraine. It's still no less disappointing.
It's infuriating. Mm-hmm. You know, the Republican conference, Republicans in Washington are divided on this issue. Yes. You have what I would describe as responsible, governing first inclined Republicans like Mitch McConnell. And you know, I don't frequently speak fondly of Mitch McConnell.
Right.
Understand how wrapped up in Ukraine and Russia's war of aggression American national security interests are, and is being responsible and has made sure that the aid, you know, has gotten to Ukraine so that they have been able to withstand this aggression from Russia. And what you also have is a growing chorus on the far right. It started with the people you would expect: Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, those yahoos who say, you know, we can't do this. Why are we fighting in Ukraine? And, you know, you and I and your listeners know, we're fighting in Ukraine to preserve the idea of freedom and democracy and self-governance, and to uphold the principle that has been in existence since the Second World War, that you do not launch a war of aggression to change the borders of countries. That international order has allowed America to thrive in the last 75 years. It is essential, it is paramount that a move like this not succeed. And where I really, really question what Senator Johnson is up to on this, when he says maybe we need to let Ukraine stand on its own, is Senator Johnson would have us believe that China is a big threat, and that that's going to define the next 25 to 50 years of America in the world, is our conflict with China. Does he not think that China is watching? Does he think they don't get CNN or international news there? That if the West, if democracies, if the alliance of nations within NATO are willing to roll over and let this aggression stand, let Russia decide to move the borders, China is going to view that as a sign of weakness and, you know, roll over and rub our belly, do what you want. And I thought Ron Johnson wanted to be tough on China. I thought he wanted us to believe that they were a grave threat. You can't have it both ways, Senator. either we stand for something or we don't. And if you're willing to walk away from Ukraine, if you're willing to negotiate away border lines that Putin thinks are his and that he rolled tanks across, then you don't stand for anything. And so here we are once again, our senior senator, you know, making comments that I take issue with, and then I think a lot of people in Wisconsin will take issue with.
And here's the thing that Ron Johnson does, is he never just comes out and takes a hard and fast position. He does the people are saying kind of thing. He never directly connects the dots, but he can't help but saying, here's dot A, here's dot B. And when you say, so you're saying you're going to do this? Oh, no, no, no. I never said that. And that's what he's doing here, is saying that, well, I just don't know where this is going to go. I just don't know what the path to victory is. We need to be very careful about what we stumble into, was one of the things he said in the interview. I mean, either take a position or don't. And of course, he doesn't. And, you know, it ends up just making nobody happy. There's nobody happy,
right,
with Ron Johnson.
And then he tries to suggest that it was weakness from the Biden administration that emboldened Putin to invade Ukraine. So even if we take him at his word, which we shouldn't, because Republicans have been saying the Biden administration is weak because we pulled out of Afghanistan, which was a deal Donald Trump made with the Taliban, I will remind you, right? Mm-hmm. So does he think that the answer to showing weakness is more weakness? It doesn't make logical sense. It doesn't make political sense. It doesn't make sense in the long sweep of history. It doesn't make geopolitical sense. I just don't understand it. And so then you have to go to, is this about some short-term political thing and trying to stick it to the Biden administration? I just don't get it. It's really disappointing, though.
And before we let's not let Congressman Tom Tiffany off the hook, who was the only one in the state's congressional delegation to vote against an aid package in May of last year, saying, "Oh, yeah, we need to focus on inflation and things like that." But he has taken multiple votes that would indicate, you know, at its most harsh position, a coziness with Putin and siding with Russia. I don't know that it's that bad. I think it's the reasons are more right-wing economic rather than anything involved in the military. But nevertheless, it is again saying China is a threat, or people in Central America trying to escape violence, they're a threat. But we're not going to do anything about Putin. It's either an admiration for a strongman, something they wish they had, you know, putting Donald Trump back in office, or like you said, it's something else that makes you scratch your head.
Yeah. Let's find out. Stay tuned.
I guess so that's where we start things off here is Ron Johnson back on the political scene, and not in an unexpected way, but one that continues to be disappointing just the same. So now we take ourselves over to the Supreme Court race, which is in its final days here. And I've noticed that other people have noticed the lack of external polling, and I have to say, I don't mind it that much. I know that there's internal polling. I know it exists. These things cost a lot of money, and normally one side or the other will put the numbers out on their own after they've paid for this poll, if the poll is good news, and people are saying, why don't we see much polling? The fact that polling isn't driving this conversation for this election, that it's still centered on main issues like women's healthcare rights and, you know, rigging, you know, the political maps, that to me is almost a breath of fresh air. And it keeps people focused on voter turnout rather than allowing even a little bit of complacency to creep in.
Yeah. And listen, people are voting. We have more than 250,000 Wisconsinites have already voted either by mail, absentee, or in person in early voting at their clerk's office. Join the party, folks. The weather's fine. You know, the temperature's fine. Come on in. This is an election where at the upper reaches, let's say we get to a 1.5 million votes cast in this race, which is possible. That would represent more votes in a judicial race than in any time in the last 12 years and make a run at the state record. And even then, that turnout will be less than half of what it was in the fall of 2020. So your vote matters more than ever. It has more power compared to a fall general election. So get out there and do your civic duty. I certainly have an inkling of which way I'd like you to vote, but just look at these candidates. Look at their values. We know more about these candidates than maybe about any two judicial candidates in Wisconsin history. So do a little bit of homework. A couple Google searches ought to do you. You'll see things like Dan Kelly defended these rigged maps in court as a lawyer in private practice. You'll see things like Dan Kelly has never put anybody in jail in his career. You will see things like he is endorsed by the most extreme far right, anti-choice, anti-women's reproductive freedoms organizations in Wisconsin. And that's before you even get to Janet Protasiewicz, who is eminently qualified, eminently capable, and is somebody who you can hold your head and vote for with pride. So let's get into the last week of it.
Can I come to one of those things? Just one of those things. You said that Dan Kelly's never put anybody in jail, and I don't think this gets said enough. He was on the Supreme Court as a Scott Walker appointee. He's not a judge.
No. He was made a judge out of thin air by former Governor Walker, handpicked him, and the moment voters were able to render a verdict on his 4 years on the court, they kicked him off.
Right.
So he's back for more. And I got to say, not bringing the A-plus energy this last week, former Justice Kelly, just these last few days, skipped a forum. He's sending Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley.
Oh, I'm going there next. Let me phrase it in the form of a question for you.
Yeah.
What does this mean that a sitting state Supreme Court justice, a right-wing justice, is sitting in for a right-wing candidate in a candidate forum?
I mean, what's rich about it is that it's the right in this campaign who has been trying to say that the left are the ones politicizing the court, which is rich for a ton of reasons. But among them is Dan Kelly could have gone to this forum himself. He's not on the bench, right? It's a candidate forum.
Right.
But instead, they got a sitting justice to go. He also apparently canceled his visit to the USA Today Network's editorial board. That is the formerly the Gannett papers. Mm-hmm. I mean, like 11 or 12 dailies, the Wausau Daily Herald, the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, big newspapers across the state of Wisconsin. And he had an opportunity to sit with their editorial board. He said, yeah, no thanks. Can't be bothered. So I wonder what's going on over there at Kelly HQ.
I know. It's all based. They're trying to recreate the magic from Brian Hagedorn of just a quiet appeal, a quiet aggressive appeal to the base, and hope that they turn out. And if you stay quiet, maybe enough progressive voters will say, well, I don't need to show up to vote either. And Joe Zepecki is here to tell you that ain't the case. You still got to go vote.
You got to run through the tape. I am old enough to remember that. It was a race that progressives felt pretty good about Lisa mm-hmm. Neubauer. And Brian Hagedorn won by less than 6,000 votes. So your vote matters, folks. Get out there and cast your ballot.
So very, very much. Joe Zepecki, thank you. As always, have a great weekend.
We'll be smarter next week when we talk about this race.
Much, much smarter. All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
All right, Joe. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. I can only underscore what he has said previously. This is a race that, despite all the headlines, has lower voter turnout because it's not a November race. So get out there, make sure it counts. Go to myvote.wi.gov for more voter information. Back with more after this. You're up north.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Army says it expects fatalities after two Black Hawk helicopters on a training mission collided near Fort Campbell in Kentucky. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The statement posted on Facebook reads, the two HH-60 Black Hawk helicopters, part of the 101st Airborne Division, crashed around 10 p.m. Wednesday in Trigg County, Kentucky. The statement also says the status of the crew members is unknown.
Wall Street Journal says it vehemently denies Russian allegations. One of its reporters, Evan Gershkovich, was trying to spy when he was detained in a city in the Ural Mountains. The journal says it is deeply concerned for his safety. The Vatican says Pope Francis will remain hospitalized for a few more days while he's treated for a respiratory infection. CBS's Seth Doan is in Rome.
The 86-year-old Pope has long struggled with health issues. As a young man, one part of his lung was removed after a respiratory infection, and he often speaks in a whisper.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Hey, Wisconsin, voting is one of our fundamental rights. Every eligible citizen has the right to be heard. You need an acceptable photo ID to vote in the spring election on April 4th. Vote Riders provides free help to get your Wisconsin ID card. Please visit voteriders.org today. They can answer all your questions about voter ID and offer free help if you need an ID to vote. If you're a citizen and you need an ID, visit voteriders.org. Voteriders.org.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. By the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Of course, we'll have all the music birthdays and this day in history coming up in about 20 minutes or so, but there's so many birthdays. Yesterday, there was, I think, one birthday, and this was one of those days where the list, I don't want to give it all away yet, goes on and on. And so when we have that many, we can't play that much, you know, music in one spot. And so we kind of carry over into the bumper music. And so, yeah, hearing MC Hammer reminds me he's 61 today. That to me is amazing. I mean, look, it's still amazing to me that I'm 58, but that he is 61 just tells you that time is cruel. And he was a big deal once upon a time, Aaron. And again, you're my touchstone to a group that may never have had to dance in big baggy parachute pants the way that MC Hammer did.
That's true. Never had to dance in the pants, but I do know this song. I think everyone still knows this song, for better or for worse.
Oh yeah. I mean, it made such an impression at the time, and he became one of those folks. It's a story you've seen a lot in the music business. Superstardom rapidly, spent all the money, can't really get it back, you know, so you become like a commercial pitch man or whatever the case may be. But yeah, he was quite the icon at one point. In this segment here, this segment's not going to make a lot of people happy, but you know, sometimes that's what you have to do. I'm starting with the Ron Johnson comments about Ukraine, and then we're going to get, you know, into other things that are going to be funny and yet infuriating, depending on the situation. So here's Ron Johnson, who again has been amply warned that, you know, he is spreading lies. He's spreading misinformation that Putin's regime wants him to spread. There's still a lot of people that ask questions like, you know, why did Ron Johnson and other members of Congress, you know, why were they in Moscow for the 4th of July back in 2018? And why ever since then has he had this infatuation with things like, you know, Hunter Biden and his laptop computer? Because by the way, I still couldn't pick Hunter Biden out of a police lineup if it was Hunter Biden and Fred Flintstone. I'm still not sure if the other guy is Hunter Biden or not, but there is this infatuation, which is only encouraged by Russians who are looking to undermine American democracy, to undermine American unity. And it's something they've worked on for years and years and years, and now it's coming very close to bearing fruit. That if in backing up a democracy and trying to prevent, you know, Russia from again trying to cobble together the Soviet Union, if during that they can convince Americans that it is, you know, something that can't be won, is too expensive, isn't worth the cost, those aren't, you know, American people anyway, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then they will have won. And Ron Johnson will have been one of the useful tools in that process. I am, of course, as much as I joke about old age, I'm far too young to remember the Second World War. But I can only imagine the kind of world it was then when there was a sense of trust and unity compared to now. Look back 3 years ago when COVID first started, and all that was asked of people was to stay home. Stay home for a while. Let's see if we can keep this thing from spreading. And enough people said, nah, I don't want to do that. Imagine if it was World War II and they were in London when everybody needed blackout curtains. And same on the coast of the United States. When you, no lights, because then, you know, the German or Japanese bombers couldn't see where the cities were because they didn't have the technology that we have nowadays. Imagine you're doing your part and your next door neighbor's like, nah, you know, has the street lights on, turns on the outside porch light and everything else. How would you feel about that person? And where's their sense of shared unity, shared service, shared sacrifice? If those same people were like, you know, it's not really where Hitler's not that bad a guy. The Japanese are, you know, they're perfectly fine people. There's fine people on both sides. Do we really need to do this? What would our world look like if that's what we had lived in back then, as opposed to actually choosing good over evil, choosing democracy over, you know, repression and authoritarianism? So I hope we can get more people to think about that when people like Ron Johnson open their mouths. Because those are some of the same politicians who are proving not just to be reckless in their rhetoric, but useless or dangerous in their actions. And that takes us to a couple of legislators, one in Wisconsin, one in North Dakota, that I want to talk about next. Here in Wisconsin, the reaction to the tragic school shooting in Nashville has been, at best, disappointing. You had a member of Congress from that area, in the Nashville area, saying, well, nothing can really be done. There's nothing that you can do. And if that weren't useless enough, then you have people like Wisconsin Assembly Rep Barb Dittrich. And she puts up this post that says, you know, and again, they don't want to do anything about the guns because there's the sense of worship for the guns. So instead, we hear about mental health, and Representative Dittrich put up, speaking of mental health, there are many things that cost zero taxpayer dollars that can improve mental health in our communities, like shared values, faith, and optimism that comes from living in one of the most blessed nations on earth. Yeah, that'll stop a bullet real quick, won't it, Assembly Rep Dittrich? If we just had shared values, whose values, Representative? Your Christian values? Do you have Muslim or Jewish friends in your neighborhood? Should they be sharing your faith? When you talk about the optimism that comes from living in one of the most blessed nations on earth, it's the optimism that comes because of the place where you live. You didn't grow up in the 53206. You didn't grow up in anything resembling the communities that you are happy to do nothing for, especially as their children continue to be gunned down. So we just need faith. We just need shared values. And that is where I have really got to tip my hat to Neda El-Makashfi, who works in the Capitol, former legislative candidate. And she shared Representative Dittrich's tweet and noted that the representative is the vice chair of the Assembly Committee on Mental Health. She's the vice chair of the Assembly Committee on Mental Health, and yet part of a caucus that does not want to go along with Governor Evers' proposals to improve access to mental health resources. And so Nader writes, the vice chair of the Assembly Committee on Mental Health thinks that shared values, faith, and optimism will cure mental health issues. And then she writes, resources? Nah, girl. Barb said vibes. That's all Barb wants. Barb Dittrich wants good vibes, not resources, not do anything. So you've got her level of uselessness, along with the congressman from Tennessee and the others who are saying, well, there's nothing that can be done about our children being gunned down in their classrooms. I mean, the utter uselessness, if you put the Tennessee congressman's quote next to Representative Barb Dittrich's quote, those two spheres of uselessness, I worry that there would actually be a black hole created between them, a black hole of uselessness that would suck in any energy whatsoever towards service, which again leads to this point. If you're not willing to serve, if you're not willing to do the least amount of measures to try to keep our children safe, what are you doing in that office? What are you really there for? And if it's to protect your values and faith, take that optimism elsewhere. Because right now there are people that need help. There are people that need service. They don't need your thoughts and your prayers and your things that cost zero taxpayer dollars, which is clearly what motivates you. It's the dollars that motivate you more than the compassion. Which takes us to our next goober. And that would be North Dakota State Senator Mike Wobina. And I want you to hear what he had to say about a bill that would allow for free school lunch for low-income kids. Now, Governor Evers is going to step further, saying, let's just make sure that all kids get to eat when they come to school, lunch and breakfast if they're there early. But for school lunch just for low-income kids in North Dakota, here's what State Senator Mike Wobina has to say about that. Or Aaron, did we not have that?
Personal responsibility is one of the major principles that the Republican Party stands on. Yes, I can understand kids going hungry, but is that really the problem of the school district? Is that the problem of the state of North Dakota? It's really the problem of parents being negligent with their kids if their kids are choosing to eat in the first place, which is entirely the problem that could be existing here. I don't believe that it is our responsibility to carry on a program in excess of what the federal government already does. Where does it stop?
Where indeed? Where does it stop with feeding hungry children? Here's the thing. That senator, too, will go to church on Sunday. and will again claim to espouse Christian values, but then gets on the floor of the North Dakota legislature and says, well, why are these children choosing to eat? And why aren't all parents taking care of this? Because they can't all take care of it. Because again, Senator, whatever hard upbringing you want to claim that you had, somebody had it worse and could use a little compassion from you, a little assistance. And if you want to find some other way to make sure that kids aren't going hungry, go for it. But to just say, sorry, kid, your parents are jerks. Go ahead and do that in your private school. Go ahead and mock kids who show up hungry. Give them a slice of bologna, make them feel like second-class citizens. But not in our public schools. In our public schools, we don't charge kids to get on the school bus. We don't charge kids for each textbook they buy like the way we did at the university bookstore. We're here to teach our children, and we're here to take care of our children during that part of the day. And don't confuse that with taking over for the parents. This isn't about that. This isn't about parents' rights or parents' choices. This is about, for this time of day, while this state is doing what it can to educate every child, no matter what their income level, to give them a good base education, during that time that we have them, let's feed them. Let's nurture them. Let's answer their questions honestly. Let's teach them history without a filter. Let's keep them safe from gunfire. These are not tough rows to hoe. And yet, for some people, it appears that is a bridge too far. The last one I wanted to talk about, I think I mercifully did not leave myself a lot of time to dwell on, but it's in the Atlantic Monthly. The headline is, "My six-year-old son died. Then the anti-vaxxers found out." And it's from my friend and coworker, Billy Ball. He is my counterpart to the Courier Newsroom outlet in North Carolina. And in January, his six-year-old boy died suddenly from a rare cerebral swelling condition. It was something that some of the best doctors around could try to be helpful with, but saw that there was nothing they could do. And that would be tragedy enough, but in this day and age of social media, the anti-vaxxers started showing up, crawling into his social media accounts, into notes about the obituary, about the fundraiser, putting things like, LOL, yay for the jab, right? Your decision to vaccinate your son resulted in his death. This is all on you, murder in the first. Now, Billy goes on to say that it's noise to him and that it does not affect how he thinks of his son and what his little boy means to him, but that it would be wrong to not acknowledge the ghouls that are out there and to say to them and the people serving in office, we can all be better than this. Back in a moment. You're up north.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Here's a fun treat for your Easter celebration, cherry elk sausage and port wine cheese spread.
You can order them at civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 43 today, under cloudy skies, with a slight chance for scattered showers. Southeast winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 38. Cloudy skies expected. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 62. Overcast. About an inch of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
That's right, we've got new walk-up music for Dr. Lyerly. That was the song that was part of Prince's ninth album, Sign of the Times. It's a big single. You Got the Look, a duet with Sheena Easton. That album released on this day in 1987. Dr. Lyerly, good morning.
I think that's your theme song. You walked in, I woke up, like, good morning.
Never seen a pretty girl look so tough. Sure, I guess I'll... I guess I'll take that.
The part that works for you.
Dr. Lyerly is reporting from an area of breaking news because you're kind of west of the Twin Cities this morning, where there's been a train derailment nearby that some of the tanker cars with like ethanol and other things are in danger of catching fire. You're not in any peril over there, I hope.
Not that I'm aware of, and I don't see any flames in the sky, but really I'm like 20 minutes away from the little town of Raymond, Minnesota.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully they're able to get that taken care of, and you will stay safe out there, which allows us to go back to having fun with some music. Now, here's the thing. We've got this long list of birthdays, and so there's so many tunes we could play. It's just classic, upbeat tunes. But there are also songs that hit the charts on this day that are decidedly not upbeat and not happy tunes. Well, for example, here's Phil Collins, 1985, number one hit on this day.
Do like this song.
La, la, la. it's not really a get me up going song, you know.
No.
But there it is, 1985. We're working our way backwards here. 1974, the top single on this day was by John Denver.
Sunshine on my shoulder makes me happy.
I thought for sure you'd be belting this one out, Kristen. No? Before your time?
No, I know it. I like it. I'm just not feeling it this morning.
No, maybe that's what I'm saying. These aren't exactly the most upbeat things here. One more music one, and it's got a little story behind it. This song was recorded on this day in 1963. Now we've got Kristen moving. There we go.
I love Leslie Gore. Do you know who produced that album?
That's part of our story here. Let me tell you more. On this day in 1963, Leslie recorded It's My Party at Bell Studios in New York. That night, her producer, Quincy Jones, found out that fellow producer, Phil Spector, had recorded the song with a group called The Crystals. And so Quincy Jones rushes it to get Leslie Gore's version to radio stations first, and the rest is history.
Quincy Jones. Leslie Gore was like one of those albums when I was little. My mom had all these great albums, and that was the one that I would play over and over and over again. I know every song on that album.
You know, I get to see your reaction when any given song comes on, and I still don't think I will ever forget your reaction when we had one of our segments with some, you know, great women on, and we played Leslie Gore going, "You don't own me."
That might be my theme song.
you think? And Quincy Jones, speaking of which, I had completely forgotten
you know, I've seen Rashida Jones on TV all over the place. Mm-hmm. Completely forgot that she is the daughter of Quincy Jones and Peggy Lipton.
Yes, yes.
Which makes perfect sense when you see them, you know, together and everything. But I just thought, oh, she's a great actress. She's super funny. I'm like, oh my God, you're the daughter of this musical genius and, you know, an actress, and she knows her stuff. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. And Quincy and his whole history. I mean, he wasn't just a producer. He was an incredible musician. He mm-hmm. was part of Frank Sinatra's band. He was a classical musician. So much depth.
One of my favorite albums of all time is Frank Sinatra Live at the Sands. I have sung that entire album loudly thousands of times in my car. But, you know, one of the first times I heard it, you can imagine my surprise. I'm hearing all these Sinatra tunes. And then near the end, he says, you know, and I'd like to thank my producer, Quincy Jones. I'm like, Quincy Jones? That guy?
The Quincy Jones.
He's everywhere. We have totally used up Leslie's song, so I don't have that in the background for all the other birthdays. But listen to all these other birthdays today. We've got Eric Clapton, turned 78 today. Paul Reiser, the actor, Mad About You, 67. MC Hammer, turning 61. Tracy Chapman, 59 today. Celine Dion, 55. Nora Jones, 44. And Thomas Rhett is 33, country singer Thomas Rhett, 33 years old today. And then this is also the birth anniversary for Randy Van Warmer, an American singer-songwriter. He passed away in 2004. Do you remember his one solo hit?
It was a schmaltzy 70s.
There, again, it was all schmaltzy. Just when I needed you most.
Yes.
Yep. But he had a really a good career as well. So there's our music break, our history lesson for this day. As we also do around this time, since we're doing our history lesson, we go back through the Up North News archives and note that on this day 2 years ago, the pandemic death toll in Wisconsin had topped 6,600. And on this day 1 year ago, just to give you an idea of I don't know when this latest rash of, you know, book burnings or book bannings or what have you got going, but a year ago, we were talking about how the activity of one parent led several books to be reviewed by the school board in Cadott, just down the road from us here in Chippewa Falls. Many of the books with LGBT protagonists, and many of those books did eventually go back on shelves, although a book about where babies come from was relocated to the guidance counselor's office. And then there was one book that was removed, which was all about basically teaching about current racial disparities. So again, to break things down, the books that this person did not like about LGBTQ, those books stayed. Where Babies Come From, that got moved to the counselor's office, and the book about racial disparity got dropped entirely. This is in Cadott, but this is something, those three categories of books continue to be targeted everywhere. And I can just imagine people looking at you and going, I know where babies come from. It shouldn't be a mystery.
There are some people who don't, and they have a lot of questions. And when you don't give them the information that they need, they fill that void with other information that is often not correct. And then they're making a lot of decisions based on that bad information. It's not a good thing, Pat.
No. It real information, not misinformation, Ron Johnson, but real information, real information is a good thing. They got just a couple of seconds for you to set up our guest. Our next guest is going to join us at 7:06, Renee Papelham. What do you want to say about her quickly?
She's incredible. She's a mom who got inspired after Dobbs happened, and she's taking the world by storm.
And then Hometown Health at 7:30, Dr. Christopher Ford, also somebody very involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, former chair of the Wisconsin FairMaps Committee, as well as an emergency medicine doc. And we did some cool stuff together. I'll tell you all about it.
The theme of our next hour is step one, do something. And Kristen and others have motivated people to do something. More next. You're up north.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote. Then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
Then at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.